Our first storyteller tonight is Herman Williams, and he's a Baltimore native, and I made his acquaintance because my colleague, Joe Sugarman, who's here tonight, wrote a story about Herman for the magazine we both work for, Style, and just a really fascinating character, as you'll begin to see, and you know, there's a prize for anyone who can figure out what talk show host he looks like, all right? So Herman Williams.
How's everybody doing? Well, I am a recovering talk show producer, all right? I got my start in the business with the Montel Williams show. I was one of the top-rated producers on that show, and for those of you who guessed, Montel's my brother. I could only stand working with him for about 3 years, and so after that I left and I produced some shows for MCA Universal. And then moved on to actually host a late-night talk show for a very short time. And then Comedy Central, I did some producing for them. And I wind up getting the coveted job as executive producer for the Charles Perez Show. Now, people are always asking me, and that was a nationally syndicated show. People are saying, Herman, how come you're not in the talk show business anymore? You know, it must be good money, must be a great job. And I'm like, well, you know, perfect topic tonight, education, miseducation, because some of the things you have to learn and things you have to teach other people in the talk show business to get ratings in the daytime is just completely, completely goes against everything that I believe in as a human being. It really does. And I'm going to give you a perfect example, which is going to kind of like blow your hair back, but this is exactly what goes on a daily basis. So a couple months, what does a producer do? Well, a producer is responsible for coming up with the idea for the show, also booking the guest, and then putting together a script so that the director and everybody else knows what they're doing and we can put it on tape. Now, the executive producer is in charge of all the producers and all the shows and all the guests. And you have to train and hire and do everything. Your job description says that you're responsible for the success or the failure of the show. It's a heavy-duty deal. And so a couple weeks after I'm working, there's not that many people of color in the talk show business, I'm going to tell you that right now. And a couple weeks after I had the job, well, the Tribune people came to me, wink, wink, Herman, we need a little bit more diversity here. We need a little bit more diversity on staff, wink, wink, okay. I knew exactly what they were saying. So I go out and I hire a black guy, Greg, as a producer. So it just turns out that the day Greg started, we had a show fallout. And so anybody who's been in the talk show business knows if you need a show immediately, 24-hour turnaround, the best thing to do is to do a racism show. And I say to Greg, now I get a chance to test him out, see where his head is. I say, Greg, we're going to do interracial dating show. So what does an interracial dating show entail? You need couples. You need a very black guy who's dating a very white girl. And then you need a couple of those. And then you need parents, mother or father, who will come on and say, oh, my God, my daughter's dating a white guy. Like, I mean, a black girl. Or, you know, my daughter's dating a black guy, and I can't stand it, okay? All right, now the pièce de résistance to this whole sick scenario is that you need a racist, preferably a Ku Klux Klan dude, because they come with their own uniform, you know. And this guy has got to come on the show and call people nigger to get the show going. You have no racism show without the N-word. All right, so I'm saying to Greg, all right, Greg, that's what we're doing. Any producer is worth having his weight. You know, you got a whole Rolodex full of Ku Klux Klan, skinhead, Aryan Nation guys. I had a stack of them like that. I'm like, here, boom, 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 here's a couple names. Go book the show, come back to me. By the way, this is my show day power suit that I actually wore when I was executive producer. Italian, you know, handmade and all that. Walk in, people say, oh, he's got the suit on. Okay. Oh, so anyway, Greg goes away, and then hours go by, and I didn't hear from him, so I call him into my office. I'm like, Greg, what's going on with the show? What's going on with the show? He says, well, I'm having problems. I'm like, what kind of problems are you having? He says, well, I call the Ku Klux Klan guy you gave me, all right? He says, I call him and say, hey, I'm Greg, Charles Press show, doing a racism show, blah, 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 we need you. And the Ku Klux Klan guy says to me, boy, you sound like a nigger. And he's like, well, I'm the producer for the Charles Perez show. And he says, no, you sound like a nigger, boy, and I don't like talking to niggers. And he said, well, look, I don't like being called a nigger. And the guy says, bam, hang the phone up on him. I'm saying, so what did you do? He said, well, I called the next guy that you gave me, and pretty much he said the same thing. He said, you sound like a nigger, and I don't like talking to niggers. And I said, I don't like being called a nigger, and he hung the phone up on me again. So I'm like, Greg, what did you do wrong? He said, what do you mean what I did wrong? I said, what did you do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. He said, let me educate you. When you call up a Ku Klux Klan dude on the phone, okay, bottom line is you're a nigger, okay? And when you call, and when he says, are you a nigger, you should have said, well, yeah, I'm a nigger boy, but you know what? You can't get on this show unless you talk to this nigger first. That's the first thing you should have told him. Now, the next thing you have to do is you got to make friends with the Klan. You got to say, you know what, man? I agree with everything you say. Niggers shouldn't date white girls. As a matter of fact, niggers should date niggers and whitey should date whitey, and I totally agree with you. And next thing you know, the Klan guy's going to go, okay, you're a pretty good guy. And you got him on the plane, he's flying to New York to do the show. I said, now you make me a little nervous now, Greg, because when you finally get the guy here on the show and he's up on the dais, and then the show's going to be going on, he's going to call somebody a nigger. And so what's going to happen? Charles is going to go like, because he's got to look good. Charles is going to go, now listen to you, I don't like you using that N-word on my show because you're insulting my people and I don't like it. I said, what are you going to do, Greg, when that happens? He says, go tell the Klan guy not to use the N-word. I'm like, hell no, man. You stand off to the side of the stage and you get his attention and you go, listen, say anything you want to say. Go ahead, don't listen to Charles. He said, well, won't Charles get mad? I'm like, of course Charles is going to get mad. That's what we want. Because then Charles gets mad and we'll have the ratings and people say, wow, the show's crazy. And then you know the Ku Klux Klan dude is going to call somebody else a nigger. And then here's what's going to happen. Charles is going to go nuts and he's going to come flying across to you. He's going to put his face right in you, 2 inches away from your face. He's going to say, listen, you, I told you to go tell that Ku Klux Klan guy. I don't want to hear that in word. You go up there and you tell him right now. What are you going to do, Greg? Well, I'm going to go tell him not to use the N-word. No, you're not. What you're going to do is you're going to go up to the stage, and you're going to stand next to the Ku Klux Klan guy so Charles can see you, and you're going to point your finger at him like this, and you're going to say, you're doing a good job, and you keep calling anybody you want to a nigger, and don't listen to Charles, understand? And do that like I tell you to do. And he's like, well, holy smoke, won't I get in trouble for that? I'm like, hell no, never in the history of the TV business has any producer ever been fired for his guest calling somebody a nigger. The audience at home expects to hear the word. I said, and what do you care anyway? That's what you expect from a Ku Klux Klan guy. But when Tribune came to me and said, look, Herman, we need some diversity on this show, what do you think they were really asking me? They were saying, go hire a nigger. And I did. I bought you in. You didn't have a problem with that. You know, when you take, and Greg dated a white girl. I said, when you take your white girlfriend out tonight, Tavern on the Green, have dinner, the waiter's going to be standing over there going like, hey, you want to wait on that nigger? No, I don't want to wait on a nigger. Niggers don't tip. You wait on a nigger. No, I don't want to wait on that. Wait on the last nigger. I said, you got an iPod, right? Yeah. You got any rap music in there? Yeah. I said, every other word. Nigger this, nigger that, nigger, nigger, nigger. Okay? You don't have a problem with that. Oh, shit. Okay. Okay. And when you go see your homeboys tonight, you're going to say, hey, ain't you my nigga? And he's going to say, yeah, ain't you my nigga? And you don't have a problem with that. But I hired you. I paid you 6 figures. I said, go book the Ku Klux Klan. And when you call up the Ku Klux Klan, what are you? And he's like, okay, I understand. I said, no, I want to hear it out of your mouth. What are you? He says, I'm a nigga. And I said, that's right. Now go be a good nigga and make friends with them Ku Klux Klan boys and get this show booked. And that's why I had to leave the talk show business.